Hey everyone, welcome back.
Hi.
Seems like you are really ready to jump into open source video conferencing. And we've got articles, case studies, even some like futuristic ideas about where virtual interaction is headed.
You know, it's really interesting to me, like the common thread I see in what you've given us is this real like need for control and transparency. You know, it's almost as if you're saying, I want to know how my tools work and I want to be able to change them if I need to.
Yeah, it's like choosing to build your own furniture instead of buying something pre-made. It might take a little more work, a little more effort, but in the end, you've got something that's uniquely yours that, you know, is really perfect for what you need. So let's unpack this whole open source advantage a little bit, especially when we're talking about something as important as, you know, video conferencing.
Imagine using video conferencing where anybody can just look at the code. They can change it. They can even share it. That is open source. And that transparency is really important when we're thinking about things like privacy and security, because it means that, you know, there's this constant review, like having 1,000 security experts constantly checking for backdoors, checking for vulnerabilities.
Yeah, it makes me think about that GZEVD case study that we saw. You know, they switched over to Big Blue Button, and the main reason, data privacy. They wanted to know exactly where their data was, who had access to it, to be in complete control.
Yeah, and it's not just about, you know, keeping things safe and secure.
Mm.
But open source allows you to customize things in a way that you just can't with some other platforms. You need a very specific feature. Well, someone can build it, or you can build it, and you can integrate it.
It's like, yeah, constantly being able to reshape your digital workspace. And we see that with a lot of platforms, especially Big Blue Button.
Ah, Big Blue Button. What's fascinating about Big Blue Button is that it started in education. And that's really important, right? Because it's baked into how it works. Classrooms need engagement, right? They thrive on participation. And Big Blue Button really reflects that.
Okay, so it's more than just video and chat then. I'm intrigued.
Way more. This isn't about just taking a physical classroom and putting it online. We're talking about taking those dynamics, that energy, and enhancing it. So yeah, we've got interactive whiteboards. We've got breakout rooms for those smaller group discussions. Tools that are really meant to keep students engaged and, you know, make learning active.
And it's clearly something that works beyond the classroom, too. I mean, did you see that stat about Big Blue Button usage in Germany during the pandemic? Over 1 million daily users. It seems like when people needed a platform that was, you know, reliable, that had all the features they needed, they turned to this.
It really shows you that people are looking for solutions that put them first, not profit.
So we're not just talking about recreating a classroom online. We're talking about bringing those same ideas of participation and engagement into a digital space. But how about we get a little practical? We've talked about the open source advantage and how Big Blue Button is doing things a bit differently. But you also pointed out a lot of other platforms, too. It's like we've got this, I don't know, buffet of options here.
It is a lot. And just like a buffet, the key is to choose what works best for you. You know, what you've gathered really lays out a clear way to think about this. It's like a decision tree to help you choose the right platform.
All right, so what's the first branch we should be looking at on this tree?
First thing to ask is, what are you really using this for? How big are these meetings and what are you actually doing? If it's just a quick chat, something small and casual, then platforms like Jitsi Meet or Kapano Meet, even Nextcloud Talk, those are great. They're all about being easy to use, and they often work right alongside your chat apps.
Right. It's like, okay, we need to talk about this face-to-face, and boom, you're right there video chatting without any hassle.
Exactly. Mm. But then you start thinking about things that are a bit more structured. Like, imagine you're running a workshop online, or you need to do some training, or you need to be in control of how it all flows. That's where Big Blue Button, with its features, starts to shine.
Right, like having a whole toolbox ready to go to make sure everyone is engaged and, you know, that things are actually productive. You know, I really liked that Big Blue Button has this whole role-based system. It's right. Not just a free-for-all chat. It's clear who's in charge, who's a participant.
And that's really important, that clarity, especially when you're trying to get things done, whether it's in a classroom or a business meeting. You know, the moderator can mute people if they need to, control who's sharing their screen, even split everyone up into smaller groups for more focused discussions. It just brings a level of organization that a lot of those other tools don't have.
It's like, I don't know, the difference between having a casual conversation in a coffee shop and a serious board meeting, sometimes you need that structure, right? Okay, so you know me, I love to get a little technical, and something I kept seeing throughout all of this research was this HTML5. What's so special about that, especially with Big Blue Button?
Oh, great question. Big Blue Button going to HTML5 was huge, not just for them, but for how we do video conferencing on the web. Mm. Before, you used to need all these plugins and downloads, and it was a pain, not to mention the security risks. HTML5 meant that all of a sudden you could just use your browser. No downloads, no extra stuff, just pure, simple connection.
So it's not just the features themselves, it's the tech underneath that makes them possible. It's like building a house on solid ground versus, you know, something much less stable. But I want to look ahead a bit. Your research takes us into some pretty futuristic stuff about where video conferencing might be going.
And what a future. We see more and more signs that we're moving beyond these flat screens into actual virtual environments. Imagine, instead of just seeing your coworkers through a webcam, you're right there with them in a virtual space.
Wait, we're talking full-on VR meetings now? Like, I put on a headset and suddenly I'm in a meeting room with people from all over the world?
Yeah. And there are already platforms pushing the boundaries with this stuff, like VR chat and Altspace VR.
Mm.
Instead of a crowded auditorium, you're attending a product launch in a massive virtual space overlooking an ocean. You can walk around, brainstorm with your team in 3D. It's a whole different ballgame.
Okay, a part of me still thinks this is like straight out of some sci-fi movie, but I've got to admit, it's pretty cool. But how realistic is this? Are we anywhere close to VR meetings becoming the norm?
That's the big question, right? Mm. And while VR tech is definitely getting better all the time, there are still challenges. Like those good headsets, they're still really expensive for a lot of people, and not everyone loves the idea of wearing a screen on their face.
Plus, there's a whole learning curve there, right? Like figuring out how to move around in virtual spaces, how to interact with these avatars. It's a whole new way of communicating that not everyone might be ready for yet. But I think the big takeaway here, even if VR is still a bit off, is that there are so many more options than just those big platforms everyone knows about. Your research showed us that there is this whole world of open source solutions out there, each with its own pros and cons and best uses. It's really amazing to see how many different paths there are. And with open source, you're not limited to just one. You can really create a setup that's perfect for you and, you know, what you believe in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, something else that really caught my eye, especially when we start thinking about bigger events like webinars, conferences, things like that. I mean, it's one thing to have a video call with a few people, but when you're talking about hundreds, thousands, that's got to be a whole different ballgame, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. When you've got a big audience like that, you need a totally different approach. And that's where that RTMP streaming comes in. Hmm? It's what makes those really smooth live broadcasts possible, the kind you see on YouTube or Twitch.
Okay, so remind me, what exactly is RTMP streaming and why is it so important here?
So let's say you're doing a live webinar, people watching from all over. RTMP, which stands for Real-Time Messaging Protocol, basically takes that live video and audio from your computer, sends it to a server, and then that server makes sure everyone watching gets it without any lag or interruptions. Even with a ton of people watching, it's smooth.
So it's like you're running your own TV station right from your computer. But what's really cool is that you don't need some fancy, expensive software for this. You mentioned OBS, which is, what, completely open source, right?
Exactly. OBS, or Open Broadcaster Software, it's amazing. It's like a professional-level tool for streaming and recording, and anyone can use it for free. You can add your camera, record your screen. You can even switch between different scenes and stuff just like a pro.
It's mind-blowing when you think about it. The same tools that these big broadcasters use are available to anyone. But it's bigger than just the tools, isn't it? It's about what open source represents. Breaking down those barriers, you know, giving people the power to do these things themselves and encouraging everyone to work together.
That's what's so exciting about it. Mm-hmm. It's not just about finding something that works. It's about joining this whole community, seeing what's possible, and shaping how we connect with each other in the future.
So to wrap things up, for our listeners who are as fascinated by this world of open source video conferencing as we are, it seems like you're not just looking for a quick fix. You want something better, something you can control. And there are so many options out there, from something as simple as Jitsi Meet to the power of Big Blue Button in education, to even VR and RTMP streaming. The future of how we connect is up to all of us.
And as we've seen, that future is all about flexibility, adapting to new technology, and a real push for transparency, security, and putting users first. It's exciting to think about what we might come up with next.
I completely agree. We'll leave you all to think about that. Whether you're just starting with open source or you're ready to dive headfirst into VR, it's all there waiting for you. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and keep diving deep.